NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we are back. We're episode 19. I'm just going to start making numbers up. This is episode 460 of the NAFTA podcast. Not true at all. If you're new here, thanks for subscribing. You got the whole crew, John, myself, Michael, Dylan looking festive, and Nick. I literally thought that that was like a Shamrock Rovers jersey, and I was going to ask you where you got that earlier, Nick. That has to be rugby, right?
Yeah, it's the Irish Rugby Football Union.
Yep, figured. We got a full slate today. We got a lot to get into. We're going to be talking about the Premier League. We're going to be talking about Messi, if he's ever going to play again. Taylor Swift is still in the news. And Michael, I thought of this especially for you. I never thought that I'd have to ask Matt Gaetz for a favor, but I would love for him to Kevin McCarthy VAR. So I think we're going to get into that as well, if you know what I'm talking about. All right, I guess he doesn't.
I know what you're talking about.
All right, gotcha. So yeah, everyone, we are jumping into a couple of segments here. The first one is going to be a new one. It's going to be our pop culture segment. I know Dylan's pumped about that. Shut Up and Dribble, it's a working title. Still working on it. But first things first, guys, I want to ask this question. We were hit with, I know this sounds ridiculous, I'm going to edit it. We were hit with Messi coming to the U.S. It was a win after win after win, point after point after point, has not played now in four games. Nick, I wanted to go to you first because you're, I don't know if you're the only person, but I know for a fact you have a bet on them still winning the MLS Cup future, and it's not looking good now.
They're my team.
Is he going to play again?
They have to because they're my team now. They are my team.
Yeah.
I'm all in on it.
Yeah, you're just going to keep front running. You know, that makes sense.
Oh, Dylan wins one game, and look at him now. Oh, my God.
Wolfpack's here, baby.
If he doesn't come back, they got to find a way to just get in the playoffs. And if they get in the playoffs, they're
Nick, how many games are left in the season?
Like three.
Okay, good for you. I didn't think you would know that.
When you've got big money wagers on it, you got to make sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. I think there's actually five games they have left. They have two in hand with a lot of teams, but he has like a 3-centimeter tear in his hamstring. So, I mean, he's 36, 37, 36. He's got to be pretty close to done. Dylan, go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, if I can move for 48 straight hours and not pull a hamstring with three herniated discs at 37, he can play with a hamstring tear. So suck it up, dude.
Yeah, that's exactly what Miami FC wants to do, or FC Miami, or Inter Miami, whatever the fuck they're called. With their asset. Dylan, you are the MLS guy. Were you at least a little bit worried, knowing that you're like a Philadelphia Union fan, that if they would have made the playoffs, this is just a wagon coming to you? Like, I don't know. Like, I felt like they had pretty good chemistry going into this.
No, it's, you ever play in Philly in November or Cincinnati in November, it's a lot colder than what Messi's used to. I think there'd be a completely different environment.
You have said this multiple times. I do feel like the north of Spain's pretty cold, right?
Like maybe low 50s, but like I've been to a playoff game where it legitimately was 30 degrees. Like it's a completely different way to be playing soccer.
We'd have to get our Basque correspondent on here, Ian. I know that he lived there for a little bit, but I feel like there is some type of snow situation there. And then, Nick, the reinforcements are going to continue coming to Inter Miami next season. Is that the word?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's demanding signings now. I mean, he wants Luka Modric. I mean, just give him the cup at that point, you know?
So this is my question, though. Like, we've had... when we had Lalas on, we kind of asked some of these questions, and we've danced around the MLS, you know, four episodes worth of a podcast about it, too. But, like, I do kind of feel like this is hurting the MLS. A, with all of the gouging of pricing that Inter Miami's doing with the season tickets.
It's dumb.
I have to assume that a lot of these games are going to look like Tampa Bay Ray playoff baseball games next season. Like 60% of a population, if we're lucky.
I don't
and
think
all
so.
All the New Yorkers down there.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think it's a problem short term. It's going to be long term when you have something that, hey, you spent $400 on tickets, so it's like $3,000 season tickets, and it's more than the Premier League to have season tickets, and Messi's gone. That's when it will be a problem.
Yeah. Interesting times. I love that he came over. It was kind of funny that he made the league look pretty ridiculous. I mean, he won that Campeones Cup or whatever the hell it was called, the brand new thing they did with Liga MX. And I think that if he would have played in that Open Cup final against Houston, maybe a different result. Who knows? Houston's a pretty decent team as well. But just kind of sucks. I was pumped. I ended up getting the Apple TV thing to watch some of this guy. So that was annoying as well.
Sucker. MLS is good. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, playoffs are fun.
Yeah. The playoffs are fun. I do think it has a closer equation to another sport you love, Dylan. Like, playoff hockey is so much better than regular season hockey. Like, it just is. There's just, I think, way too many games. Hot take, I guess. But, you know, playoff MLS, decent. Michael, you're resoundingly silent about this.
I just think this shows that the MLS is not good for the most part.
Yeah.
I will say, this is the one thing I will say. I do think this... Listen, it's literally the best player that's ever lived, like, joining a team. I think, in a weird way, it solidifies him because he is getting players that probably don't have a whole lot of business doing the things that they were doing at that time to do them. So, I think it's a big win for him.
For sure.
I've never seen Campagna score a goal before, and that was in 3 seasons with the Wolves. So, like, he definitely can make people do some stuff.
Love it. The other pop culture thing in the news, we talked Taylor Swift last week. Again, Michael and I both from Cleveland. Travis Kelce, shout out to him for hopefully bagging Taylor Swift. I want to ask this real quick question off the top, and we're going to go youngest to oldest without me in it. Are they dating?
Yeah, no shit.
Dylan?
Yes. Aaron, there's a clip of Aaron Andrews saying that they need to be dating, and he said thank you for I owe you. So, like, they're definitely dating, and the songs are going to be phenomenal. Like, I am extremely excited.
Nick?
Oh, yeah, it's not even a question. They've definitely been doing this for months. Not even a question.
Yeah. Go ahead, Michael.
I can't believe we sound like a news cycle right now. We just keep regurgitating the same thing, but are we not talking about the new couple?
Who's this?
Aaron Rodgers and Kim Kardashian?
No.
Wait, is that actually a thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what I've been hearing.
No, he's...
Are you in the same tin hat world as Morgan is?
Don't ask me how I know this. He's talking to the Milwaukee Bucks owner's daughter. Like, Miguel
Mallory Edens?
Yeah, there you go. That's it. That's who.
No,
they're
no shot.
How do you know this?
I know more about pop culture than all three of you guys. Don't ask me why. I just do. And that's more, like, I just know things. I drink
Dylan,
and I know
I
things.
I can promise you that's not true. You know how I can promise you?
Things.
Google it.
Because I've had a relationship with Mallory Edens. Not Mallory Edens. With Wes Edens. Oh, I wish. Lex isn't here. I'm not allowed to say that. Never mind. But Mallory Edens, as pro-vaccine as you can get.
Opposites
like, literally... There's no shot in hell.
Hold on.
He was just on Pat McAfee's show talking about the game, and he fucking...
Called him Mr. Pfizer. Like
yeah, Mr.
Jackass.
Pfizer, like a shithead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, low-key kind of fucked Pat McAfee, too.
Pat...
Nah.
No,
PL.com.
Nah. No shot.
Give me that one, Michael.
This is the segment of the pod where everyone shows their phone.
This is literally, or one day ago, Aaron Rodgers' rumored girlfriend shares jaw-dropping swimsuit photo, Mallory Edens.
Also,
like, that's one
if you're
day
just
ago.
Now, if you're just now figuring out who Mallory Edens is, you are late to the show.
I know who she is. I'm just
saying
they're dating.
I've heard of her.
Yeah. I wanted to take a dig at Nick.
Well,
Nick's
60.
You're right
Nick's
here for me.
Yeah.
You're a dad
anyway,
for me.
Okay.
The more important football news the more important football news with the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce situation. She was in New York, and in her private box was Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. Shout out to Wrexham. Love that. Love that. Also, Ryan Reynolds with just a great tweet. When you find out it was American football and he looks pretty, or what was it, Michael?
Rob McElhenney tweeted it. The funny one.
Oh, see,
the funny one.
You and Dylan should be running this segment. Actually, I think that might be what we do in the future. Yeah. Wait, Nick, what you got, man?
You don't think? Well, this, I don't want to get into this, but Ryan Reynolds is hilarious. Watch Two Guys, a Girl, in a Pizza Place, and you'll be hooked forever.
Hold on.
I just want to say, I found today, I was on YouTube looking for something different for practice. I found a whole series of Wrexham drills. I can't wait to try all these drills out over the next 3 weeks and see if I can make a Paul Mullen out of one of my strikers. I can't wait.
Yeah, love Paul Mullen. Fuck the Tories.
Nick, that's amazing. Science is a liar sometimes. Nothing is funnier than that, so therefore he trumps it.
You went way over his head.
Yeah. Damn, you guys don't watch It's Always Sunny.
No, I do. I'm saying you went way over his head.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure the sentence out.
We'll clip it.
Yeah, so Swifty back. They're definitely dating. Shout out to typical Cleveland guy. Just great all-around dudes.
It looks like he's a little bit of a cornball. Highway patrolman.
Who?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, the homecoming king that became a cop and never moves on from the state championship ring.
He looks like he turns his body cam off.
Oh
yeah,
That's how we got Travis Kelce on the podcast.
people are saying that it's a joke.
It's fine. It's funny. It's fine. Yeah, but have you guys seen the clips of like the girlfriends asking like now that she's gonna put him on the map and they're just dumbfounded because he's obviously a Hall of Famer. He might be a top three tight end of all time, or best, depending on who you ask.
I'm going to have to say Greg Olsen is the best of all time. I got to stand up for my boy, but he's damn good, Travis Kelce.
Nick Tucker, not liking statistics outside of the Miami dorm bedroom.
Close personal friend. Can't
yeah, Nick's
me.
A 7th floor crew guy.
Yeah, 7th floor crew.
He sent me gear personally. I can't speak. I have to stand up for him.
I get that guy
should be on the podcast.
Yes.
We could get him on. I know I worked with his uncle. He's one of my good friends. So we could get him on.
Nick holding out on us, as always, with good
bold
guests.
Bold prediction. Nick does not get Greg Olsen onto the podcast.
What would he even
come here for? Add it to the list. We'll ask him if he watches soccer.
He'd be like, no. And I'd be like, all right, man. See you later.
He'd look at us and be like, bunch of nerds? Fuck no. All right. Pop culture segment done. That was terrible. We got to work on that, but I think it's here to stay. I think we can figure that out. Yeah. A segment that has taken off and is not leaving and is something that we all look forward to and love. Dude of the Week. Let's get into it. Look, I thought long and hard about the lineup for this, the draft order for this, and Nick, you were pulling at my heartstrings here because I thought it was going to be really simple. Dylan won, so he gets to go first. Michael got fucked, so he gets to go second. I gave Dylan points, so I got to go third, and then United just sucked, so you got to go last. But after today, with Galatasaray winning, I actually felt bad for you, so you're going to go third now. Is that cool?
You can do whatever you like. I have no soul or heart anymore.
Nah, sorry, Nick. You can go third.
Sorry, Nick.
Stop this. We can't. There's so many months in the season left. We can't start.
That's why it's funny.
We can't.
All right. Dude of the Week, Dylan, lead us off. You're the winner of the week. Let's get it.
I'm going to do something a little different tonight. So my first Dude of the Week is a Little Rascals Dude of the Week. And if you get where I'm going with this, good on you. I have a three-story person here. So it is Craig Dawson's pocket, because if you look in it, you will find the best striker in the world in it. It is full game Pedro Neto teaming up with Hwang Hee-chan. I'm not going to say what your coach called him because that was absurd, and he is the best Korean in the league right now. And then the Wolverhampton supporters will be the top part of my head here because they went full hockey mode and bowled and booed Matheus Nunez literally every second he got the ball and had the best chance of saying, Nunez, Nunez, what's the score? Nunez, Nunez. So, yeah, up the Wolves. That's my little Rascals dude of the week.
Love it. Dylan made a three childs in a trench coat human being made up of 15,000 people. So I appreciate that. Shout to the Korean guy. That was going to be one of my guys. So he took my vote there. That was pretty fucked up that he said that, though. I won't lie. That I think that does kind of tell you that he was just not focused on this game at all.
Oh, we're already doing excuses.
It's not an excuse. I think that's a real thing.
Oh my God.
On this podcast, in particular, you're going to say that.
Let's give John credit. He actually showed up after a loss. Like, let's just make sure he finally Dude of the week, John Wicker showed up finally after a loss to take his licking.
I guess Nick went second, so I got to cross off what I was going to say.
No, go ahead, Michael.
No,
John was one of them. Ollie Watkins, I can't believe we have a hat trick on here. It's not going one pick, round one, pick one, but I got to go Ollie Watkins. Absolutely tore Brighton apart. Shout out to him.
Dylan obviously drafted with his heart, not his head there. like a typical Cleveland fan, actually. So you fit in well.
I mean, I root for the Cleveland of England, so kind of makes sense.
True. True. Very true. Nick, round one, who you got?
I'm taking Todd Boehly. Finally gets Chelsea a shirt sponsor, and then we'll follow it up by taking out $250 million loan to pay off last year's transfer fees.
Shout out to Boehly. Just makes an appearance every podcast. You can count on him. All right, I got my double pick. First, I'll do one a little off the grid. You guys might not have seen this. Pulisic scored again this weekend. Shout out to him. But you can pick him because I'm not picking him. I'm picking the Italian announcers for when he scored the goal. I don't know if you heard this. I'm going to try to clip it in. So if you hear it now, it means that I was good at technology, and if you don't, it means I still suck. I love the pulley, 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 sick, 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 sick. shout out to those guys. So that was my number one. And then you Dylan took, I was going to say Hwang Hee Chan.
You can say him.
No, I'm going to homer it out. Shout out to Julian Alvarez. That was a sick goal. Homer.
That's fair.
Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
It's the only thing you did all day.
True. Very true. Round two. Nick, who you got?
Ed Sheeran.
Great album.
His album, his tour, has clearly catapulted Ipswich to the 8-1-1 start top of the championship. We need Ipswich back in the Premier League, so let's keep it rolling.
Some are saying they're a tough team to play.
Quick question. That album cover, what it actually means? Is it like if you add subtraction, it equals dividing?
No, it's the Mathematics Tour. But he had a new album come out this Friday, okay, if you guys weren't aware of that as well.
Nah.
It's very good.
I'll tell you what, that's not going on the list. I'm going to be honest with you.
If you're not an Edhead, you're missing out. Just saying.
Sorry.
Great musician, and not going on the list. Best Dylan, who you got round two? Ever.
Getting skipped?
Oh, Michael, my bad. I forgot Dylan started.
Yikes. Shout out Bournemouth. The best, 19th place team I've ever seen. It's absolutely criminal that they're there right now. They got Everton, Wolves, and Burnley in the league next up. They got to get some wins here or Raiola is going to be in the hot seat. But
yeah,
I expect them to get 5 to 6 points.
This is becoming a theme on the pod. Shout out to our dude Craig. He actually reached out to me last week for some reason.
No
he like
way.
Yeah, he sent me a video of him in like the UAE, and I just responded worldwide Craig, and he responded back just two countries, mate, and that was it. So shout out to them. They're fucking awesome.
I love
Dylan, him. Who you got round two and three?
I will be going with Martin Odegaard for being a good teammate and getting Kai Havertz on the board by giving him the ball to kick his penalty. So, good guy. And Number two, I'm going to go with, and if we're doing clips, if you want to clip this in, you should. I'd like to go with Jurgen Klopp for telling the media that they've never played soccer before and wouldn't understand what
he does it once a year. He literally does it once a year.
For former athletes to finally tell the narcs to shut up, awesome. Love that.
It's so good. He just goes, if you disagree with me, you've never played soccer. And it's just like, what are you going to say to him? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, to be honest, I know we'll get into it. He actually handled that press conference incredibly well.
With a great one-liner.
Yeah. all right, I'll do your work for you, John. Pick three. Shout out to Mykhailo Mudryk. After, what, 11 months or however long the fuck it was, finally gets his first league goal. Congratulations. Actually, a pretty sick goal. Levi Colwell with a great whipped-in ball. Once it went and hit the back of the net, I turned it off. Couldn't watch it anymore, but shout out to you, brother.
It's such a tough thing to see, because as anti-Chelsea as this podcast is, we are resoundingly pro-Ukraine.
Yes.
I will remind people all the time, pro-Ukraine. Nick.
Nick is like, are we? I'm like, yes, we are.
Yes.
I'm just laughing. I didn't know we were going that bold today. Or not bold, but we were making political statements today.
Four or five more coming.
That's our second one.
Good, good.
Nick, who you got?
I'm going to make... this is a returning dude of the week. I have to give the hometown shout-out back to, again, to Ocean Junior winger Noor Araki, who banged home the 1-0 game winner to top Group 6 to qualify for the short conference tournament after a massive week for the blank where I coach and everything. So good work by Noor. Huge, much needed lift on a fourth W on the bounce too. So
shout out to that guy. Maybe we should clip that and send it to him. I actually did my long run. It's not a long run. I did 6 miles today with my Ocean soccer shirt on. So shout out to you guys. All right, my last dude of the week is, you know, we get a little cheeky with this. I think we had the entire Spanish women's team. Dylan just did 17,000 people as three people in a trench coat. So I'm going to shout out the refs. Shout out the refs, because I do think that they're going to provide me for at least four or five clickbaity style TikToks on this thing, and we could use that. So shout out the refs. Shout out VAR. I love PGMOL. Yeah, I love it. Dudes of the week, done and dusted. Love to see it. Let's jump into the games that we're going to fly through, because we have a lot to get into. Like I mentioned before, there was a little bit of a controversy with a couple of teams, Liverpool and Tottenham. Nick is still not in a very good mood. Dylan beat the shit out of me after I went on someone else's podcast and told people to root for Wolves. Not very nice. Everton, not looking good. So would love to get a Hank check. Not sure if we're going to get that. And then Villa went big time. But let's first talk about some of these quick games. Bournemouth 0, Arsenal 4, Saka in the 17th, Odegaard in the 44th on a pen, Havertz with a pen in the 53rd that Dylan just mentioned, and then Ben White in the 3rd minute of stoppage time, a 4-0 win for Arsenal. Bournemouth, yes, a decent team. That wasn't their best showing there. Newcastle 2, Burnley 0. Burnley was still searching for their first win in the Premier League. Listen later to see if they get it. Almiron in the 14th, Isak a pen in the 76th. Newcastle, I think that's 3 or 4 wins on the bounce now for them. Forest 1, Brentford 1. Norgaard opened the scoring for Brentford in the 58th. Dominguez tied it up in the 65th. They shared points at the City Ground. West Ham 2, Sheffield 0. Bowen in the 24th, Suchek in the 37th. Honestly, a decent win for West Ham in the sense that years past, that would have been a draw against a team that's definitely not as good as them. So they're cooking on all cylinders. Michael mentioned Mykhailo Mudryk scoring in the 18th minute. Broja also scored in the 19th, and Chelsea beat Fulham 2-0. And then the game today that happened, Luton Town 1, Burnley 2. Burnley with their first win of the year after Luton Town got their first win of the year against Everton earlier in the week. Foster scored, opened the scoring in the 2nd minute of first half stoppage time. Adebayo scored in the 84th, and then a minute later, Larson gave Burnley all 3 points in the 85th. Guys, let's do it this way. Let's go three at a time here. Arsenal, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Burnley, Nottingham, Brentford. Michael, what do you got on these three games, if anything at all? And you mentioned Bournemouth earlier. Do you got anything else to add?
I think at any point you could just like lose to Arsenal, depending on how they're kind of feeling. Obviously, you know, going down fairly quickly, 17 minutes in, bad for Bournemouth. Two pens, obviously, what do you do? And then a 90th minute winner. I don't love like not seeing them score at all. That kind of concerns me a little bit. But if they're beating your press, you're kind of fucked. Nothing to say as of right now on the Forest game. I'll have something to say a little bit later. And then I think Newcastle kind of cooking a little bit. I think they're going to win the games they should, and I'm not so sure about the top six, top eight games.
I totally agree with that. With Newcastle, Arsenal is a really, really good team last year, and we think Bournemouth's decent, but like I'm not surprised they didn't score against Arsenal. It's a pretty decent defense. I think the big question mark is that Forest-Brentford game of just who is actually better than who. It was a really boring game to watch. I watched half of it, and it was painful. Dylan, you got anything else to add?
I'd be worried if I'm Bournemouth, to be honest. Not because of, I guess, two reasons. One, our boy Tyler Adams re-injured himself, and I think that they were really looking forward to him coming back to solidify the midfield. And two, I'm curious how they do over the next few weeks still playing this expansive type of football, because eventually if it's not going to turn into wins, it's going to completely backfire, and that's just a caution I would put for Bournemouth right now.
Yeah. Nick, anything to add for those three?
No, I mean, the Arsenal result isn't too shocking. I didn't get to see many as I was moving all weekend. A little disappointed to hear Tyler Adams got hurt again. That was exciting to see him back. But I think I agree with you, John, with Newcastle. They'll do what they're supposed to do, and then it's a coin toss at best when they're making their matches. And Forest and Brentford, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Dylan, stop.
Michael, like you want to add your sauce now?
I'm adding my sauce later.
Are we making is it going to be one big massive argument, or are you just going to list the Declaration of Independence, like the list of grievances against VAR, like one final last master stroke before you just give up complaining?
Here is the length of the pod right here. I'm in hibernation right now. Wake me up when it's time for me to talk, and then you'll see the real me.
Wake me up when it's all over?
Yeah.
Conserve your energy.
I was just doing VAR for the fact that like I wanted to be a good official here, because Nick called out John for that statement, but it was Michael who said it. So just want to make sure like we can see how that works.
That's a good referee right there. That's a good referee. Good West Ham 2, Sheffield 0. Like I said, West Ham usually would drop points maybe in this game. They're looking pretty consistent. The Fulham, Chelsea 2-0 win, and then Burnley finally getting their points against Luton Town. Nick, let's start with you since you went last time. Anything that you're pulling from these that you want to bubble up to the surface, I guess?
It was just nice to see Burnley get their first points. You know, that there's not going to be, that there will be somewhat of a little battle, you know, in those bottom, you know, 16 down maybe, you know, so that'll keep that interesting where it's not going to be just one team is just god awful. So there'll be some interesting stuff down there. I ran my mouth and I have to take my medicine with Chelsea. I have a Chelsea friend that I sent that Domino's thing to and just started digging on him on Instagram, and then he just responded, "Emergency pod coming soon. You doing okay?" So,
They scored two goals.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you give him a grain of salt, he's going to take it and he's going to make a mountain out of it. So,
He's a Chelsea fan, huh?
Yes.
To God.
That's no. I mean, again, I don't know how much I can contribute. It's a lot of stuff I just saw online. I was moving for 48 hours and thankfully did not own another herniated disc. So we're calling this weekend a W. Well,
And you didn't tear your hamstring, so you're definitely not out for the last five games of the season. No. I think the one thing I'll add here before Dylan, I kick it to you, is we all said it in our group chat. this has Chelsea getting a little over anxious or over excited written all over it, because I think every person to themselves on this pod has mentioned how bad Fulham is this year. So I'm not really reading much into this, but Dylan, add your sauce to these three.
No, you're right. You guys kind of covered everything I'd say, and like, it'll be fun to watch the roller coaster come back down in 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, Michael, you got anything, or I'm gonna let you lead off Villa. All right, Aston Villa. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna lead off Villa, so you go right ahead.
Well, yeah, Aston Villa 6, Brighton 1. Wild, absolutely wild. Ollie Watkins in the 14th, Ollie Watkins in the 21st, and Estupiñán own goal in the 26th. Ansu Fati fired back in the 50th, but Watkins came back in the 65th, Ramsey in the 85th, and Douglas Luiz 7 minutes into stoppage time in the first half. A beatdown. I have a bit of a thought process around this, but Michael, like I said, I'm going to let you go first.
I just think it's funny because last week I called him Ansu Fati, and it's Ansu Fati, but like Fati is way funnier, and then I think a week later incepted you to say it as well, so shout out to me on that one. This was absolute torching. I don't know. Listen, I still think Deserby's a great coach, but is this, and I don't know the answer, is this potentially one-trick pony territory here? That Unai Emery has figured it out a little bit, and if you're good enough, then you can stop this, like, we have all these triggers at the goalkeeper, and we're going to pass it through you, because they basically were like, go ahead and fucking dribble it up to the 18, and then we're just going to stop you in the midfield.
I love how you asked that question. Dylan said yes, or someone said yes, and Dylan said no. Nick said yes, and Dylan said no. Before I let you guys go, my thought is that I really wanted to say that the midweek games are screwing Brighton, but then I remembered that Villa also has midweek games. Like, I was like, they're out both in Europe. But I do think that the problem with De Zerbi may be this. As much as we joke that they have a new wonder kid every 3 weeks or every month, this roster is pretty thin, and I think that he's okay with like getting beat 6-1 on the offs every once in a while because he's rotating and then hopefully having a team. Like, he does not deviate from the plan very often, so we'll have to see. Dylan, what are your thoughts here?
I agree with that, but I think it's more on Villa and Unai. Just like, I think they were set up the right way. Like, having lost basically 6-0 to Brighton, like, I think some teams are built in the back to be able to sustain what they're able to do attacking, and to Michael's point, like, wait for them and then pounce at the midfield, where other teams towards the bottom can't handle it. And I think it was just a bad matchup for Brighton. Like, I wouldn't be saying, oh no, Brighton's like done. Like, it's exactly what you said. They get a 6-1 loss, get it out of their system, then they win another 5 in a row. Like, it's normally what they do.
Yeah. Nick, anything to add?
Yeah, I think the midweek thing is definitely, I mean, you can get away with it against Bournemouth. You're not going to get away with it against Villa. I think the interesting stat that I did see, because this game I was able to watch a little bit of, was with the pregame, is that since who came in second? Emery came in second, like in terms of when they got hired, I believe. Since that moment, the two compared, Villa's had more points. Villa's scored, I think the only thing is that Villa hasn't scored is that Brighton scored more goals, but Villa's beaten them in every statistical category since Unai Emery's come back. So I think that it was a drubbing, but I do agree that he has his system, he believes in, whatever it is. If you get beat, sometimes you're going to get pummeled, and that's okay. We'll just move on to the next one.
Yeah. The only other thing I was going to add to this is, like, if Ollie Watkins is at a big six club, do people ever stop talking about him? Like, he's pretty prolific. This is his second hat trick this season. Not in the Premier League. He had one against Hibs, but I think he's pretty good.
I think he's in the right place. I think you go somewhere else, you might not be getting the same results. Sometimes it's not the right move to go to a big six, and it's good to be at a place where you fit the system.
Depends. True. It depends completely on the big six team you're going to, like in this moment right now. I just watched a video by an account that will go unnamed until later that doesn't think he's, half of them don't think he's a top 10 striker in the league, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, I think that's tough. Definitely not a top 10 team. Everton 1, Luton 2. Lockyer with a goal in the 24th opened it up, and Morris gave Luton a 2-0 lead. Calvert-Lewin got one back in the 41st. Consolation goal at that point, though. Or not at that point, but consolation goal it ended up being. Big news here, Lockyer was the dude that, like, had a heart attack, essentially, on the field when they were trying to get promoted. So, shout out to Tom Lockyer for getting that goal. Big first 3 points for Luton in the Premier League since they've been brought back up. And, to be honest, kind of makes that win against Brentford for Everton null and void, because you'd have, I had Everton in 18th, better than Luton. So this does, you know, they're just evening out the score again. Nick, what are your thoughts here?
Good for them. Again, I'm just here. I'm here for races, because clearly United's going to be sitting at mid-table, just wallowing between 9th and 13th, and just being atrocious. So I just want to see some action. We know what's going to happen at the top of the league. I'm loving the relegation battle. The Wolves aren't going to be there. Clearly, they're beating the champions, hand in shoulders with everybody there. Good for them. Make it interesting down the bottom, because we know how that gets desperate at the end, and that is some fun last 2 months of the season, usually.
Love it. I love that Nick's here for all races, as should everyone be. Dylan, what are your thoughts?
I think we have a Jekyll and Hyde situation going on. Like, I know that I said this joke last time and you guys all got on me, like, with Sean Dyche not being a good coach in the Premier League, seen his prime already. But Luton will be tough for teams that are at the bottom of the table, which was clearly, even though they didn't win against Burnley either. The thing is, when you're home against Luton, it just can't happen. And I think that the sales of, hey, we finally figured out the striker part, that I will probably eat my words that I said last podcast, just aren't coming to fruition right now. And to your point, I'd be nervous, because you basically just traded a game that you stole for a game that you gave away. So you're in the exact same spot. So not great, Bob.
Yeah. I don't think we wrote this down on the bold take, but I think I said it or someone said it, that, like, Luton will not get a win away from home.
Yeah, I lost.
And that was you. Lo and behold, you're there. Michael, any last thoughts?
So you would think, just looking at, the statistics here, what did Everton had 2.90 expected goals to Luton's 0.89. You'd think that when Luton went up 2-0, then that's where all those expected goals would have came from. First half, Everton was 2.25. And they weren't, they got that one goal back. But you'd think that whole second half, they would have been, like, pumping them. No shots on target. 10 total shots, 0.65. I think you can look at those numbers and you can interpret them as, well, they're just missing their chances. But at some point, like, you have to start scoring. You have to start converting those chances. And it might be a situation where they just can't do that. They're not capable of it.
They finally played DCL and Beto at the same time, and I guess it was just a shit show. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, Don, I'll let you go in a second. I'm the one who said that DCL will score, what, like, 5 total league goals. I think he got this one, but he also had one midweek in the cup. I mean, injury incoming. It's going
to
happen.
That's, like, he's gonna get hurt again. That's terrible to say.
He's going to, I don't wish he gets hurt. I don't like the team. I kind of don't like him either. Don't wish he gets hurt at all. I'm just going based off of history and just what it is. Like, he's not reliable.
Dylan?
No. Nothing? I think they're... I think they could work some kinks out. I'm going to be positive for Hank. They might work some kinks out, and it might be all right. But until you see... It's something where they need to show it, and until they see it, we're not going to believe it.
Dylan, yeah, speaking of a team... Go ahead.
Sorry, real quick. If Bournemouth beat them, since you said Bournemouth are in trouble, does that make Everton in trouble?
Yeah, but I think Everton already is in trouble. It's a loser leaves town game, if that's what you want
to say. Touche, you're right.
Sorry. It can be a loser leaves town if you want.
One's DEFCON is much higher than the other, or lower. Correct. Depending on what is going on there. DEFCON. Before Michael interrupted my like seamless transition, a team that did show something. Wolves 2, Manchester City 1, a Diaz own goal in the 13th minute that was pretty much wholly created by our good friend Pedro Neto in the 13th, gave Wolves a lead. Julian Alvarez scored on a dead ball in the 58th minute to tie it up, but the Wolves were persistent, and Huang. Damn, I'm as bad as Pep. Huang.
Worse.
That was pretty bad. Should I redo that? I need to edit that out, actually.
Boo, boo. That's fine.
I'm just going to call him Huang. Huang had a goal in the 66th to give Wolves a lead that they would not give up. Dylan, I'm going to let you have the runway, do your dance, whatever you want to do. But the one thing I will say, I did mention this earlier, not very nice of you guys, because I did go on someone else's pod and basically say, like, everyone should put their support behind Wolves because we don't want them to get relegated and we don't want Dylan to have to start a championship podcast. So,
promises made, tough. Promises delivered. I'm going to reverse Uno card you. Talk nice to me. Like, let's hear you talk about it, please. And then I can film
you. You want me to talk about it?
Yeah, talk nice.
So I'm not an alarmist. I think that we've won, three of the last five Premier League titles not being in first place most of the year, so I'm not too worried about it. I want to give you guys a lot of credit. Like, Dawson and Kilman played as good of a combo defense in the back against Haaland than anyone ever has in the Premier League. I think that's going to be key. Who's played better, Michael?
Joe Gomez and Konate have had him in his pocket before.
Yeah?
Yeah. I actually think Gomez had like an 8.2 rating in the 1-0 last year.
Well, FotMob doesn't like Craig Dawson because he should have had a 9.9.
FotMob doesn't like Pedro Neto. He has a 6.6. That's atrocious.
You gotta yell.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Doesn't matter.
True.
Doesn't matter.
And he didn't get the goal. So, but anyway.
He made the goal.
Can we stay focused on the task at hand? Can we let John rain compliments on Dylan, please?
No. Michael's still like obsessed with this Liverpool City era where they won 1 and we won 4. Dawson and Kilman did an amazing job. I thought the back line was incredible. Cunha was so annoying. I was literally getting really frustrated watching this guy because he did positive stuff, but then as soon as he did something positive for you guys, it was just on the floor begging for, like, a foul, and I was like, whatever. Huang's amazing. He had a great game. And I think the thing that is crazy is, we've talked about it all season. You're like, we do have pieces. When we had the podcast with Alex, you guys talked about it constantly. Like, there are decent pieces here. Like, if it finally showed up. And the game plan was great. I actually was sitting there at half being like, I'm glad Gary O'Neill's their coach because he can't figure it out in the second half, and he did more than figure out. I think he won it for him. My other two thoughts are, like, Rodri is now more important than KDB, and I think that's been that way for a little bit, and the longer he's not on the field, we're going to struggle with some games. Pep can't keep not being on the sideline, too.
He was coaching. There's an earplug in his hand. He was clearly talking.
None of you guys answered because you didn't answer my question.
My bad. Too many yellow cards. And Dylan, you're right. He definitely is, but, like, he's not in at halftime. I don't know. Like, he's just got to be there. That's fucking stupid. The only complaint I do have, which is a legitimate complaint, and I know I shouted them out earlier, 6 minutes of stoppage time is bullshit. I wasn't joking. Cunha was on the ground begging for 8 different calls, and each of those took at least 30 seconds. Plus, there's a goal. It was bullshit. That's the only complaint I have. Other than that, you guys beat us, and you are the better team.
Very nice of you to say. Yeah. I'm happy we got that out of our system. I also appreciate that you are probably the first person to actually talk about what the Wolves did well and not about how much City sucked and didn't play normal, like, City soccer. So good on you for that.
I actually, like, before I let you go, I don't think that's the case. Like, I actually think you guys played better than we did. Like, I don't know why people are saying that. Like,
because you're a big six club. No one likes to talk about us. Like, that's just how it goes.
That for sure. But, like, there wasn't, I can't really sit there and point at anything that we did that terribly. I think that we got bad chances. Like, we had so many shots, but our XG was only 0.8. That's a sign. Like, we're not getting quality chances. And I think that was because your defense played so well. If you had to pinpoint something we did wrong, it's the midfield. Like, the midfield was just a mess, and it was because of Rodri. Like,
you also started Matheus Nunez. That was a poor choice.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Because, like, if I'm really going to look at this, one, starting him was your first mistake, and not because, like, he played abysmal. It brought the crowd immediately into the game, though. Like, basically, for something like with the booing and all that, and I think that gave a spark early on to us. That was something that, especially with how the game kind of started, and if Dawson doesn't get that ball away from Haaland coming across, like, we have an issue to begin right there. So, like, I think first off, that was mistake number one. And then, two, when you were talking about you expected at halftime Gary O'Neill to not make adjustments, I don't know if, other than, like, he made the perfectly right sub at the right time at halftime, but I think the difference between the Liverpool game and what happened with you guys is that your goal didn't come in the run of play, and I think that gave belief that how we were set up and the way we were doing, like, a little one-on-one marking against Haaland. And, you know, someone who you didn't hear us said the whole entire podcast is Foden, either, because you forgot Toady completely put him in his pocket, is the fact that I think that confidence started to build to be like, hey, that goal came because of a stupid penalty or foul, and we can do this. The other part is exactly what you said. Rodri not being there is extremely crucial for you guys because we were able to, I think, get on the counter a lot more and control the ball, and it brought you guys completely back to where then, like, you couldn't do anything to Haaland that you normally would in that case. And outside of that, like, you can say Cunha is annoying or whatever. He might be the best striker who doesn't score, but he's, like, still holding up play and doing everything that, like, his work ethic and efficiency on the field is exactly what we need. And, like, the moment he does score a goal, I'm hoping it leads to something. But, like, right now with what Hwang and Neto are doing, like, if he can keep just being a menace around up top, and maybe, I don't know, at some point him and Fabio figure it out and he plays a 10 role or something like that, who knows? Like, that's what we need right now, and allows us to play five at the back, which I think was way more of a unified front for us with where we've been a little shaky. And ultimately, like, this game went exactly how it played when we played the other side of Manchester, where we were running all over the field and we kept it completely up. So at this point, Manchester's orange, so get used to it.
Yeah, I think that the O'Neill comment I had wasn't necessarily that he made adjustments. I think it's that he didn't. He had the game plan that was going to win it, and, like, you know, he kept with it.
And that's actually one last point, and then I know we can go to Michael, is two things. I will now be negative, and in terms of things that I'm scared of, is one, I think you guys play, and we've talked about this, kind of the same way all the time for the most part. Like, you know how you're going to set up and, like, what you're going to do, and I think that plays into what Gary O'Neill did, which scares me for when we're playing teams that are lesser than a City, like a Crystal Palace or Fulham or something like that, that are going to change the tactics based off of who they're playing, which then could throw him for a loop. So I'm hoping he can figure that out, but something that I'm worried about moving forward. And the second part is, we clearly play up to our competition. I'm scared we're about to beat Robin Hood from 3 years ago again and keep stealing from the rich to give to the poor, and we don't need that to happen because then we're going to be in this relegation battle. So hopefully we can continue off of the momentum that we stole.
Yeah.
I think, back to something you said earlier, Cunha is literally not a striker. Like, he is a ball carrier. He is somebody who, like, wins stuff around the center circle, moves it on, kind of antagonizes a little bit. And then, I know you're going to hate this, Dylan, just because I'm not talking about Wolves, I'm talking about City. But right now, like, I think Jeremy Doku's great, but, like, you know he's going to dribble. Like, he hasn't really shown anything in particular, like, crossing the ball into Haaland, like, that much. That's why I think Grealish is, like, such actually an asset in that team, because I think he is very unselfish. And I'm not saying Doku is selfish, but I'm just saying, like, you know what he's going to do. If you can prepare for that, I think you're taking a phase out of the game. And I think at sometimes he's trying to populate the same areas that Haaland is trying to populate. And then it just comes down to, like, why Julian Alvarez's goal is as good as it is because you need, like, sparks from him and Foden, especially in the situation where you're trying to break down a team to get a goal. And that's where I think, like, De Bruyne, even Rodri to a point, and like I said before, Grealish are so important for Haaland specifically to get goals because they feed him. And I haven't yet seen to the same degree, and it will never be the same degree as like De Bruyne, but I haven't seen those other guys like pick Haaland out and like get him into the game, because sometimes he doesn't get himself into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he kind of needs those guys to do that. And then I couldn't agree more with Dylan. You want to take the sting out of the game. Put Nunez in there guarantees the sting never comes out of the game.
Yeah. So
flop.
The one thing I'll say, the one thing I will say is we have three players that we got this season in the starting 11, and that would have been unheard of for a Pep team, really. Lately, like it's always like a second year type of thing, and I think that you're right. I think Doku and Kovacic and definitely Nunez are still trying to figure out this system the best they can. And Dylan, before I hand it to you, so then you can hand it to Nick, the one person we haven't mentioned who actually probably played the best game for Wolves was Jose Sa. Like he was key, and there's an account that I listened to or I watched that just kept talking about how he was playing long balls strategically and how that's how you broke the City press very well,
and he didn't rush it, which is what normally has led to like half of the goals against us this year.
Very good point. You mentioned that last week, Dylan. So Nick, you've been patient, dude.
He just wants to get his ricochet shot handled.
I just want to say that we did something that John can't do, that City hasn't done so this season. So that's all I got to hang my hat on.
What's that? Beat us because the refs and VAR don't know what they're doing?
Yeah.
I think they're pretty consistent. I think VAR is actually pretty consistent, Dylan. So
there's two people on this podcast who beg to differ.
Consistently shitty.
I think Dylan, look up what the word consistent means, and there was no word after that, so no descript, no content to it.
Dylan, any last points for your victory lap here before we do Bad Day, Sad Day with Nick?
It's a real shame that we just killed the City Dynasty and that at the same time that there's a good chance we might go on a Chelsea run and not get any more points for the next couple games. But you know what? We had a fun – it was fun while it lasted. Seven looks a lot better than four. So we're going to Napa to celebrate, boys.
Love it.
Dylan just drop a this is Wolverhampton on you right now.
Yeah. Love to see it. I if I have to lose points to anyone, there's no greater person to lose points to than you. I will say that. But I will not be on anyone else's podcast pining for people to support Wolves anymore. Nick, not good. No bueno. No Hugo bueno for you either. Manchester United 0, Palace 1. Anderson goal in the 25th is the lone score here. And the one thing that I'll ask you right off the top, if I gave you the ability to put Roy Hodgson in charge of Man United as opposed to Eric Ten Hag, would you take it right now?
Only if he has a rotary phone.
Sure. If he has to call him the subs like people old school call him to the bullpen. You love that?
I want to send him Morse code, offering him the job, and we're in.
Love it. What's going on at Man United? And this is also, we'll give listeners some context here, a 3-2 loss to Galatasaray in the Champions League today as well, which I will say, Michael, kind of called it, didn't I? Kind of called it.
You did. Good job, brother.
There you go. So, Nick, floor is yours.
I have to say, I was pretty excited after practice. Practice ended a little early. Waiting for the kids to get picked up by their parents. You know, so we all, everyone's got their phones out. I see United's winning 2-1. I'm like, great. So I have my phone out and had the game on, waiting for the kids to get picked up, and just really ruined what was a nice afternoon outside of practice. Just really ruined it. Like, I honestly don't know what to think anymore. Like, I went from angry 2 weeks ago to this week, or last week, I was saying, you know what, we just got to find a way to grind through it, to we're a dumpster fire right now. I mean, we've got Armbat playing left back. Reguilón was playing well. He's hurt again. You know, I mean, injuries do play a factor in this, but you've got most of those injuries are positions that we have players who have experience in. You know, Varane's back, who I think Varane is the rudder of the ship, where Martinez is the guy shooting the cannons of that pairing. You know, you got Victor Lindelof, or even Saturday, or you got Victor Lindelof playing. How much experience does he have? He's played in Euros. He's played for United for what, 6 seasons now? You know, and Varane, and we're just giving up goals. Like, it's one thing if we can't put the ball in the back of the net, but we can't defend. If you can defend, you can find a way. I mean, Sean Dyche is the clear example of that. They're a mess. Rashford's a mess. Rashford's indecisive. Højlund looks great. I mean, he's the one bright spot. Him and Bruno look pretty good. We can't figure out the right wing. The midfield's a disaster. Casemiro's just slow. It's a mess. And at this point, I'm just hoping we find a way to get into Europe, which I'm not really expecting, and I'm hoping that we find a way to get to turn around and get into the knockout rounds, which I don't see happening, and maybe we make a run in the FA Cup, which I don't see happening, and hoping we can make a run in the Carabao Cup, which I don't see happening. So I'm pretty negative town right now, and I wish I had a better response, a better answer. But I don't know anymore. Hello. I really don't know, because there's so many problems. And injuries are a major component of that. Not the only problem. I mean, yeah. Many, but it's a very... Not having a lot of players is not good.
Yeah. So, like, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one type of situation for you right now. Eberice Eze was easily, like, the best person on the field. I watched some of this game, too. I will say, and Michael, I feel like you always like to at least give your two cents on United as well, but I've seen this before. This is the same TV show, the same film that you did with Ragnick, that you did with Mourinho, that you did with Ole. Like, I don't know, man. It's almost like there is a nice little push up a hill, little momentum. You get a win against either us or Liverpool or someone else that people are like, oh, United's back on the map. If they can win this one, you'll win it. And then it's almost like it's just like a slow petering out, which is like such an old school term that I don't know if it like really makes sense. But in my mind, it does. Like, I don't know. It's a little odd. I feel like I've seen it before.
I think if you can describe them like Keyshawn Johnson.
You want them to give him the damn ball?
If you don't, because we've conceded in 5 of the first 9 games, we've conceded the first goal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, the first 15 or 20 minutes, we come out flying. But if we can't put one in the back of the net, we're like, we just get incredibly discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like the complete opposite of United during COVID, behind closed doors, where like you're watching games, oh, they go down 1-0 early. It's like, yeah, whatever. They're going to go score 3 goals. Not even a big deal. Like, I literally made so much money off of United going down when they won, what, 12 games when going down first? Made so much money betting on them. Not even just win 2-1, but like win going away. And you weren't worried. You know, there's teams that, like, you know, that I played on. Oh, we give up a goal? Whatever. We're going to go score 3. Or, you know, we gave up a couple runs in the first. We're going to go score 10. this is like when you go down 1-0, it feels like 12.
Yeah.
Just because you're just stomach and throat. It's just not, the mentality is not there. The confidence is not there. And I don't necessarily want to say it's Ten Hag, because I do appreciate the fact that he has standards and he sticks to them. You know, so maybe we don't have the right players. But it's going to be a long season. It's going to be a very... Like, I currently have 4 gray hairs in my beard. I think I might get to 10 by the end of the season.
Yeah, by week 8.
Or maybe Boxing Day. Yeah.
Michael?
I think I said either last pod or the pod before, if you literally make these players, like, not... Like, no faces, no numbers, whatever, and you just watch jerseys run around the field, I don't think you could, and I said what era of the United Woods is from, I don't think you could tell me if this was Ragnick, Ole,
yeah,
probably Mourinho, but I don't, the last three, I don't think you could legitimately tell me with certainty which group this was.
Yeah. It just looks pretty familiar. Nick, we'll get you some Rogaine for Christmas.
Sorry, Nick.
Be perfect. All right. Sorry, Nick.
It's okay. I will say the last thing real quick is, I don't know how much you guys watched of the last 20 minutes of the game of the Champions League or whatever, but Onana is a disaster. Disaster, dude. He almost gave up a goal on a ball that came across. He should have caught it, like, hands down, and he just kind of, like, fumbled it, parried it. It's not even a parry. It was just, like, a scrummed it out there. Guy should have put it on frame. Didn't. And then the goal that they gave up that led to the Casemiro second yellow, because Casemiro had to make the challenge, like, he had no choice. They're playing out of the back, they play on the ball, and Dello is, there's no one within 30 yards of him. He decides to play the ball up the field when, I guess it was Casemiro that was there. The Galatasaray player standing right next to him, and you're just like, what are you looking at right now? And he's a mess. He needs to get it together quick. Or, I mean, shit, sign De Gea again. Sign him back. I mean, they wouldn't, and he wouldn't. If I was him, I wouldn't come back after how they treated me, but he's supposed to be a ball-playing keeper.
Definitely a mess. We'll talk about the bigger mess, the main event, the final game that we're going to talk about. Tottenham 2, Liverpool 1. Heung-min Son in the 36th minute. Opens the scoring. Gakpo in the 45th plus 4 tied it up for Liverpool. Matip own goal 6 minutes in the stoppage time gives Tottenham the win. If you just read it that way, you'd have thought, all right, pretty standard game. Curtis Jones got a red card in the 26th minute, 10 minutes before the Son goal. There was also a ruled out goal by Diaz, which Fotmob, for some reason, did not have the timestamp on here, so I apologize for that. But it would have been the first goal, correct? If I'm remembering correctly? Yeah. So that would have been before the Son goal as well. Gakpo scores a man down, and then Diogo Jota in the 69th minute got his second yellow card in as many minutes, and he is sent off. So Liverpool were finishing this game with 8 men in the outfield and 1 keeper. Michael, you said you were hibernating all pod. Welcome back. What can we help you with? What give us some information. Give you the floor. This is a bad pod for me. I'm struggling.
I got nails
all over the place.
Dude, it's bad.
First off, before we get into all this shit, I want to cover my bases. First of all, to Destiny Udogie, I'm sorry some of our online fan base are literal human pieces of trash, was getting racially abused by Liverpool fans. Quick statement from Spurs and Liverpool condemning it. I don't know why they were mad at him. He fucking didn't do anything. Like, it literally had nothing to do with him. And furthermore, it has nothing to do with Spurs. The only thing I can kind of make fun of them for is that Pedro Porro literally took his shirt off on an own goal. That's pretty, like, embarrassing. Anyway, I want to ask you guys. I've been hearing so much shit the past couple days, and obviously we've had, like, a while to, like, marinate on this. This is not the same as a handball. This is not the same as a red card. This is not the same as anything else like that, right? Like, this is... You could talk about the Jones red card. You could talk about the two yellows, whatever. I've heard about a 50-50 split on the red card. That's completely fine. I don't think it was a red card. I think he, like, goes for the ball, rolls over the ball. I think when you put that, like, still image there, it makes it look way fucking worse, and they already denied the request to overturn it, so he's going to miss 3 games, because that's, like, serious foul play, by the way. But we have people, like, kicking, pushing, shit like that. Like, that's a clear attempt for the ball, but that's, you know, 3 games. Whatever, fine. When you're missing, like, binary, like, 1 and 0, is he behind the line or is he in front of the line? The one thing, literally, that VAR is meant to get right every single time. Okay? I don't understand how you can have the response of some people saying, just get on with it. Like, I truly do not understand that. If you are still complaining about a red card days later, fine. I completely understand, like, we hear it, we know, people disagree, fine. If you're telling people to shut the fuck up about something that is literally, like, a breakdown of, like, how the structures and how the process is supposed to go, I don't understand how you can sit there and say, just get on with it. Like,
are you talking about fans?
I'm talking about, like, first of all, Gary Neville, like, fuck you, because you were so goddamn hard on the VAR people, and then for a day later for you to be like, actually, like, Liverpool's taking this way too far. Liverpool's taking this way too far. And I'm sitting here with jerseys and a picture and a Roberto Firmino jersey behind me. I'm clearly a Liverpool fan. If this was any... I go on a rant every weekend on this podcast about VAR, how disastrous it is. This is by far the worst thing I've ever seen. This is, like, so absolutely unacceptable. The Onana, like, challenge is unacceptable, but you can still understand why, like, subjectively some people would sit there and go, well, he's going for the ball, it's not a foul, whatever. There's no subjectivity to this. It's just they fucked it up, and something that people have been saying for a while is, like, when you listen, even when fucking the head guy goes on Sky Sports and does that whole, like, these are 4 games where we made VAR decisions, blah blah blah, and they play the audio for you and everyone, you know, whacks their dick about it for like 2 weeks about how, like, great it is that they showed the audio, they sound like sporadic in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, so many people are talking at the same time. They said, like, checking offside. The fact that you can't go back 30 seconds when the ball is on a throw in and take it back is absurd. I don't think it's unreasonable to be like, yeah, like, we're not accepting this apology. Like, I think people coming out against, like, Liverpool and saying, like, okay, didn't ask for a replay, didn't ask for a point, didn't ask for anything. And people are like, well, let's, like, replay this game if you're gonna fucking cry about it. Like, it's a handball. Like, that one was a handball, for sure. The Rodri one, that quite literally could have cost us the league two years ago. If you don't get that, if Everton get that penalty and they score, we win the league.
True.
So when you're talking about it's a point, we lost 2 league titles by a point.
And we might get relegated. And we might get relegated because of a point.
You literally can't.
Villa stayed up because of it.
You cannot talk about, like, it's just a point when you have fucking decades and decades and centuries of history about where teams probably lost out, went up, got a certain spot, got another spot, and even when, like, 8 and 9 is financially different,
mm-hmm.
the payout is different. That could change how the outlook of your club. Like, I think it's ridiculous to just say, I'm sick of hearing it, so I, like, just shut up about it. Like, that's ridiculous. And that's fucking, I love James Lawrence Alcott. That's him, I think. One, I watched his fucking video, and he sits there and he's like, I feel bad for my... I do too, but it doesn't matter, because when I go to fucking work and I mess up, I get reprimanded for it. I have to do something about it.
Yeah.
When I don't do my job, something happens to me.
Put him on a pip.
Okay? No one sits there. Listen, the 80-year-old lady cusses me out and I can't say anything back to them. No one's talking to them. They're taking them off this weekend. They're not refereeing this weekend. okay, what's that going to do?
Yeah.
And to my point again, what's that going to do? What did we see literally the next day? You have arguably the biggest fuck up that you've had in VAR history, okay? And then the next week, God love him, Matt Turner kicks the shit out of Yohan Wissa, and they get that call wrong. It's so fucking bad that I don't know what to do about it, and I don't think anybody is asking. No one has asked and said replay the game. No one has asked for us to get a point, and like, I think it's fucked up if you were to say, okay, both teams get a point because it would be 2-2. Because Spurs didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't their fault. Why are you taking their 3 points away from them? And then, just before I let you guys go, because I'm about the end of my rant here, I low-key get it. The Liverpool fans, again, online specifically, who are talking about how this is fucking corruption and shit like that, grow up. Like, go touch grass. Go do something outside. Take your headphones off for a split second. Put your phone down. You are... If you truly think that this is just us who are getting fucked week in and week out, I think I literally have it on here. 14 apologies in the past just over a year, like since last year, September 8th. We've been in, not the, you know, the team that's like got wronged or like benefited from it. Arsenal 2, United 3, Newcastle 1, Palace 3, Chelsea, West Ham, Villa 3, Brighton 3, Liverpool 2, Forest, Brentford 2, Fulham. It's every fucking club. So if you can't like unplug for a second and think that this is not just your club, and that goes to the people saying stop fucking moaning, because just because it didn't happen to you doesn't mean you can sit there and act on your high horse and think that, oh, just shut the fuck up about it. And it goes to the other fuckers too, the other Liverpool fans who think that only happens to them. It happens to every single club. So unless you want to fucking do something about it, shut the fuck up. Because I'm sick of doing it. I'm sick of going on here and ranting about how dog shit this replay system is. When America, this place, I hate this place. I hate waking up every day in this goddamn country. And we do replay better than you. How have you not figured it the fuck out?
They came for Liverpool and I said nothing because I was not Liverpool. Yeah, look, I totally agree. The before I give it to Dylan, because I know he wanted to jump in here next, the red card also just isn't a red card. Like that was my, like, no. That's a very Klopp-esque answer where it's like you just have never played this game before. Like that happens all the time. It's not a red card. I don't know. I'm sure I'll have more later, but that's all I had right now. Dylan, what do you got?
I mean, Michael kind of summed it up, but said it all, so I'll just quote Seinfeld and say, with VAR, they can clearly take the reservation, but they can't hold the reservation, and that's exactly what we're dealing with right now. It's as simple as that.
Nick, anything to add?
Yeah, I was just Michael kind of touched on it towards the end. What I love about baseball and their replay is that it's literally like four things. And it's home runs, you know, did it go over the fence, did it not, you know, and it's safe or out. Did the ball beat him or not? You know, or did you beat the ball? Like, it's things that are black and white. There's no re-refereeing or re-umpiring, like watching the robo-umps and all that stuff. Like, I hate that. Like, that's adding the subjectivity to it, you know, and I think if you can do, like, it's a victim of our own advances, you know? So, like, sometimes doing less is, I will say some of the best advice I gave one time to a kid, I just said, try less. And he goes out and bats, like, 450. There's nothing wrong with his swing or anything. It's like, just try less, man. You're pretty damn good, you know? Like, you're overthinking everything. Like, why don't we just do offsides? Did it cross the goal? Like, what are three or four objective things? And that's the human nature. And that's what makes it, I think that's what makes it really fun. You know, the fact, and enjoyable, like the fact there is human error in it. And that's what it makes pub conversations and pub arguments great. Is you can talk about that here and there. So, we don't always agree on things, you know, when it comes to the soccer realm. But I couldn't agree with you more that it's everybody and it's bad. Like, I mean, please, just get rid of it. Screw it. Just get rid of it. And let's just play.
So,
if you make a human mistake in real time, if you can't understand that, then you like go touch grass, as Michael says. Like, people make it's on the fly. It's incredibly quick. Like, and then it sucks, but it, you know, it's just how it is. Like, how the game has been played for how many years.
Dylan, before I go to you, I agree with that. The problem that we're gonna have with this is, like, I'm sure you guys have seen, like, the robo call of offsides got voted down by every team. Like, they have the ability to implement it, and they voted against it, and I think that's stupid. They should be able to do that, because essentially what we've done is, with VAR, we have added, like, human error, which they were trying to get rid of. They're trying to get rid of human error so that things would be more correct on the field. You've essentially now added human error with superhuman ability to slow something down and look at it like you're not supposed to look at it. The still frame, like Michael said, of Curtis Jones' foot going through the person's leg looks worse than it actually was, because he hit the ball first and then came through. And that referee was never going to see that if we didn't have him go to VAR. So, like, those things, I don't think you need the VAR, like you just mentioned. But the things that are the cut and dry, is the ball across this line? Is the player past this last player? I think those are really easy things to just have correct every time. Dylan, go ahead.
Outside of VAR, I just want to say, Michael, like, chin up. You guys played really, really well with 9 men. So that's pretty cool.
Was it Paul Merson that said Liverpool's bet? You can go to bed knowing that. I think it was Paul Merson said Liverpool with bet with 9 is better than United with 11. I would go as far as say they're probably better than United with 12. So, you know, rest easy, Michael.
Michael, take it home.
It's just, one, I think I told John this. If I think a result like this in general, like, either very positive in a weird way on your season, or like, clearly, like, negative, I think we have the best manager in the world to make it as positive as we possibly could. For some reason, I think when we have the mentality that everybody is against us, even if, it, again, like I said, I don't think it's a vendetta, but I do think it's fucking horrible, like, refereeing. I think we have the best manager in the world to kind of galvanize everybody. I think McAllister is going to get fined for suggesting that we played against 12 people. And then last but not least, I think he played an absolutely great game, and hell of a finish by Joel Matip.
There you go.
Fucking roofed it.
Rocket. Just a fucking rocket. Last thing on it, I mentioned this in the group chat. Allison, fucking grow your hair out. You look awful.
It's not debatable.
Can we get the beard back, please?
Yeah, he looks bad. Brazilian keepers just want to make themselves look ugly.
He looks like Scott Stapp back in the Thanksgiving game in Dallas back in '96.
I read the room wrong. I thought we were talking about how unbelievable he was.
He was.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Sorry. He just looks like shit.
Yeah, that's the only thing. No, we just need to talk about, he's a goalie.
Also, good for Spurs.
You'd rather me have a high mohawk and get chipped from inside the 18?
I mean, I'd rather have 4 Premier League titles and a Champions League title and a couple of FA Cups
All individual, by the way.
John, he just took a cheap shot at me, and somehow you thought it was at him, and you just tried to bury
him.
Yeah,
you're literally, you think you're a nail, I'm brother. Not everyone's a hammer.
I'm seeing red.
Yeah, what the fuck's wrong with you?
All right, guys, great end. Love it. Better days for Liverpool moving forward. And Dylan, I think you bring up a really great point. If there's one thing this pod can get behind, it's, by God, I hope Big Ange goes to a team that we can all like and then root for, because I don't really like Spurs, but, like, I like Big Ange to do well. So shout out to Big Ange for sure.
I like Spurs this year. Gonna come out and say it. I like them.
Damn. He's out the Spurs closet. All right, let's get into our predictions. Match week 8. It was our first bad week across the board. Everyone went 3-8 except for me. I went 4-7. I got the bonus game today with Burnley. And I know the reason. We posted our picks and we posted our record on Instagram, and Brendan Klunk, my friend Brendan, reached out to me and said, "You better be betting these. This is an incredible record." I, to which, did not respond, because I knew this was a temptation for Mush but unfortunately his mush was too strong for us and we all got fucked. So Michael's still in the lead. He is sitting at 47-23. Nick and I are in second, tied now, 46-26. And then Dylan is at the bottom, 39-31. But again, wait, everyone over 500, so pretty
good. Damn, we're 20 games over even after this past week.
Yeah, we were flying. We're Icarus, all of us, just flying a little too close to the sun. So let's get into the predictions. First game of the week is going to be Luton Town, who just got their first big win of the season. They're going to be hosting Spurs. Dylan, who you got in this?
I like Spurs.
Nick?
Yeah, I like the chicken on top of a football.
Cockerel. Michael?
Same shit.
I got Spurs. I think, just want to tie this in, I think actually they did not look very good against us, especially 11-on-11. I actually thought the first however many minutes that we had all 11 people on the field, I thought we were going to smoke them. Not going to lie.
Damn.
And I think Luton's going to set up. I just don't think Luton has the minerals, as they say. But I think Spurs will get it have enough.
You thought you were going to put Spurs in a spliff, huh?
I thought I was going to smoke the shit out of my brother.
I got Spurs too. Burnley, Chelsea. Burnley, first big win. Chelsea, first big win also. All right, second win, whatever. This game is at...
Luton's not a big win.
Neither is Fulham. This game's at Turf Moor. Michael, who do you got?
You know what? I'm doubling down. I got Burnley.
God damn! Dylan?
I almost did that, so I'm going with a pick I'm disgusted by, which means it's probably going to win. I'll be taking Chelsea.
Nick?
Yeah, retweet. I was ready to hit the box gray, but I think Chelsea is going to get a little run going. I mean, shirt sponsor's a big deal because they're paying the refs off.
Shirt,
it's corrupt.
Shirt sponsor look, bump.
Look good, feel good, play good. I got Chelsea as well. Big game. Honestly, actually a big early season game, this one. Everton is hosting Bournemouth. Look, I've said it before. He's making an appearance on every pod. Our boy Craig reached out to me. I can't not back the guy. I got Bournemouth in this one. I know it's at Everton, but the power of Craig being in only two countries, mate, not worldwide, and him making me laugh in the middle of the week, I got to go with Bournemouth. Michael?
I also got Bournemouth. I will say, though, if Luton can beat Everton at Everton and Bournemouth cannot, I have real concerns.
True. True. Dylan?
I'll be honest. This could go either way, so I'm taking a tie. I'm not willing to break friendships over this choice.
Love it. Nick?
I'm going to be a better friend. I take Everton.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not friends with them, so I don't care.
Putting it down. Damn. Fulham hosting Sheffield United. Another somewhat important game because, like we've said before, we all think Fulham's not very good. This is at the Cottage. Nick, who you got?
Neither of these teams score, and they love giving up goals, so I'm taking a draw. I might bet under 1.5, 0-0.
Oh, you know I love that. I might change my pick right now to that, but I'm going to take Fulham because it's at home, and I think they're a little bit better. I think Sheffield's pretty damn bad, so I got Fulham. Michael?
Oh, man. It's tough picking Fulham.
Mm-hmm. Feels weird.
Fulham, I guess. Yeah. Sheffield's really bad.
Dylan?
Give me back-to-back ties.
Yeah, you needed it. I knew it. I knew that was going to be the move. It's strategic. It's strategery. Nick, we're going to go back-to-back with you starting us off. Man United hosting Brentford. This game was tough. We watched it together last year. Who you got?
This is going to be a turning point for me, this game, and how I decide to pick for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I am making my last hopeful for a reaction pick, and I'm taking United, but know that I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, I got United as well, and I think that United is lucky that Brentford's not very good right now.
This Michael, game needs to be 4-0.
I don't think that will happen, but a dub is a dub.
I agree, but yes.
Yeah. Michael?
I got United. I think Brentford are a mess.
Yeah, kind of under the radar mess, for sure. Dylan?
I think it's a big get-right game for Brentford. I'll take Brentford.
Damn.
After all I did for you this week and telling you that how much I'm so happy for you all weekend.
I love that
this
Dylan.
This is how you repay me.
Dylan respects the friendship more than the brotherhood by not going against Everton, but going directly against United.
Yeah.
Dylan, Palace Forest. This game's at Palace. Palace with a big win over United. Who you got in this one?
Palace at home.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
You got him? Pretty good. Nick, Palace Forest.
Yeah. Yeah. Just only because it's Sellers Park, Palace.
I got a draw, and it's because I don't know Nottingham Forest yet. I don't have a feel for him, so I got a draw there. Michael?
I got Palace. I do know Nottingham Forest.
Am I an idiot?
Away from home, not as good. Palace. I want to dispel. I don't think Palace has even been that good at home, but it's just one of those things that's, like, stuck in my head.
Yeah.
That I can't unthink, but I do know Nottingham Forest are not typically good away, unless they play Chelsea.
Gotcha. Brighton hosting Liverpool. Dylan, who you got in this?
I think Liverpool's actually really, really good right now, all things considered, so I will take Liverpool.
Michael, should have had you lead off your team, my bad.
I will guarantee you I do not pick us the rest of the year.
Oh, wow. Bold statement. I got Liverpool. I think Brighton's also kind of a mess just after this game. Nick?
I am taking Liverpool. I just changed in the dock because I remember they have Europa League midweek, so I'm taking Liverpool.
Yeah, so does Liverpool, though. They both do.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, it's fine. I just letting you know. Make sure you knew.
I know. I subscribe to my own theory, though.
West Ham's going to host Newcastle. Michael? West Ham or Newcastle?
I got the Hammers. I think this is the perfect game for how West Ham want to play.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I'm going to go Newcastle just based on juju. They got four straight. They might get a fifth, so I got Newcastle. Nick, who you got?
I got the Geordies.
Yeah. Dylan?
Yeah. Michael, handshake. Let's go West Ham.
There it is. And then a big game, the Midlands Derby. Wolves, they're going to host Villa, coming off that big win against City. Villa coming off that big win against Brighton. An unmovable force against a unbreakable object, that type of shit. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. It's been a long night. Dylan, who you got?
You know how this goes. Villa.
Michael.
Dylan, we were here. Now I'm saying here. I got Villa.
All right, I got Villa as well. Nick, who you got?
Samesies.
And then the game of the week, Arsenal hosting City. City still without Rodri. It's his last game of the suspension. Pep will be back on the sideline, though. I got to go with City. You know, who knows, but I got to go with City. Michael?
I got Arsenal.
Dylan?
I really want Arsenal to win. Saka's injury scares me. I will be taking City.
Oh shit! I forgot about that.
It's all right. It's not set in stone.
You already said it.
Nah.
John, he's in first place. He already said it.
Come back to me in just a second.
Nick, who you got?
Blues out of Manchester. Michael, what's up?
Yeah, who do you got, Michael? What the fuck?
is Martinelli still out?
I hate That's when he does this. I hate when he outsources research.
I'm doing it right now, right. You guys are asking me.
You don't have any bets, Dylan?
I got a few. So
can you do them quick?
Of course I can.
I got City. I don't think Martinelli's playing.
Okay. I will be taking Brentford, double chance, plus 120. We'll be taking under 2.5 in Fulham, Sheffield at minus 115. Liverpool, Brighton, both teams to score, no draw at minus 120. And then we will be taking City. This number is probably going to change because of the soccer news, but as of right now, City is plus 145, so I will be taking them.
Love it. Quick bets from Dylan. Let's get out of here. Do you have a joke? You have the ending of all of this podcast, so I feel bad just asking you because you got to run.
Oh, good. So what do the Wolves and the bubonic plague have in common? They both know to shut down the city. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.